Father, we're so glad this morning we have this message of grace and peace. We have it, Father, through your word. We have it through the table today, Father. We have the message in song. So, Lord, speak to us, we pray, as your Spirit works. Father, remind us of that grace you've shown us. Remind us of the peace that you've brought to us. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Longer ago than anyone can remember, a long, hot summer where there was no food or game, and the Lakota people of the Great Plains of North America were starving, a beautiful young woman appeared among them. She came with a message of life. She told them how they could use the buffalo for life, how a buffalo's death could meet their needs for food, for shelter, for clothing. So to help the people remember her coming and the buffalo, she gave them a buffalo calf pipe to use for prayer and to seek good fortune. And when she walked away from them, she made a promise that she would one day come again. And so as they all stood watching, she walked off into the sunset. And as legend tells it, as she did, she turned into a young white buffalo. And ever since that day, because of this legend, they've anticipated a return, the return of the white buffalo. Well, at a time in history, when everyone must acknowledge, because it's determined our very calendars that we use, and there are historical records, there came one named Jesus. He came in a world in which people were dying spiritually in their own sin. And he came with a message of life. He told them how he would give life so that they might live, his life that they might live. To remember his coming and what he did for them, he established a meal, the Lord's Supper, for the people to use to remember what he's done. When he told them he was going away, he made them a promise that gave them hope. He said he would come back. And so he, after his death and resurrection, as they stood and watched his departure, Luke writes, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from sight. When he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Not surprising, there are some similarities between these stories. One's a mythical legend of uncertain origin. And you'll hear it at other places. The details always just a little bit different, perhaps, than what I gave you. While the other is absolute truth, consistently told, and it's rooted in historical context. Each has an intervening Messiah who came to a dying people with the promise of life. Each had a way to remember that message. Each Messiah departed in something white, and each promised that they would return. Now, how do you account for the similarities? Well, as Don Richardson writes in his book, Eternity in Their Hearts, taking the title from Ecclesiastes 3, you know, there are elements we can recognize as being similar to biblical teaching in all sorts of religions. Those that have not stayed in close contact with the Judeo-Christian faith have been cut off from it. So in the Lakota people, you have their own legends about creation, about how theirs and other tribes came to be. You know, look at many of the world's religions, they all have their own flood story. And we can always take those stories and compare them with the light of God's word and understand perhaps at some point they were exposed to the truth. Yet time and distance have allowed distortions of these by human-made religions that people devise so they can flee from the true God. So instead of a dying God, human Jesus, supernaturally intervening who gives life through his death and resurrection, you have a nature and a story of the earth giving life, in this case, through a buffalo's death. Now, for the Lakota and other peoples of the Great Plains, ever since that day, they've got the hope that a beautiful young woman who saved their lives will come back to them as a white buffalo. All right. And they keep that alive with this sacred pipe. Now, believers in Jesus Christ, our hope is based on what Jesus did for us, how he saved us. And we remember with a meal, we remember with the Lord's Supper, that he established for us to remember his life and his death, to remind us that God himself is the source of our grace and peace. So our verse this morning is typical of Paul's standards greeting. Takes the Greek greeting of grace and justice, the Jewish greeting of peace, and enriches their meaning through Jesus Christ. So that the grace and peace God wants us to enjoy comes from Him. Comes when we know Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. And as we await His return. So let's go to the text. Again it says, grace to you and peace from God our Father. So grace can be the summary of what God's done for us. That's completely unexpected and completely undeserved. So remember the distinction between mercy and grace. Mercy is not receiving what we deserve. Grace is receiving what we do not deserve. Mercy is not receiving the punishment we deserve. Grace is receiving the gift of life we do not deserve. So grace has the idea that, of a gift that God gives to us. And here today we proclaim to the world God's grace extended to us as His free gift of salvation. Now, why do we need salvation? Well, it turns out God has a zero tolerance policy when it comes to sin. Now, I've told you about her before. Her name was Mrs. Castle. She was my ninth grade English teacher at Nitro Junior High School, home of the Fighting Wild Kittens. And she was not an easy teacher. And as I told you, one exercise she gave us would be to take our papers and fold them into six sections. And then we were to, in each section, front and back, conjugate verbs in 12 different English tenses. Now, this particular exercise, she had zero tolerance. See, what do I mean? You either got 100 or you got a zero. There was no in-between grade. And one mistake was all it took to get the zero. Even a mistake as minute as failing to complete your I by placing a dot at the top of it. That earns you a zero. Now, what's God's standard for our conduct? What did Jesus say? Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. God has zero tolerance for sin. One mistake, one sin is all it takes to get us a zero on our spiritual life. You know, we cannot stand before God and then offer some lame excuse or explanation for our sin. Now you say, was that because God's just mean and cruel and vindictive? No, not at all. It's because God's holy and God is loving. And God understands, He knows the destructive power of sin in our lives, that it kills us. There's nothing we can do about it except plead for His mercy and hope for His grace. See, here's the good news. That's not wishful thinking. All right? It's founded on what Jesus did for us. See, there at the cross, Jesus dying for our sins. He suffered God's wrath, God's zero tolerance for that destructive sin. Means that He poured out all His wrath on Jesus, that Jesus drank the cup of His wrath, we say. And what we're then given by God, it comes to us at Jesus' expense. We cannot excuse ourselves because we're ignorant. Our only plea as we stand before God is to say that Jesus received the wrath we deserve in our place. And He's given to us the perfect obedience, the perfect behavior, what we call His perfect righteousness. So that the Father accepts us based on that. Jesus' righteousness, His perfection. As one who is perfect in every way, Jesus became the acceptable sacrifice for our sins at the cross because He could indeed die for our sins because He had no sins of His own to die for. So grace is God's gift of eternal life based on what Jesus did for us at the cross. Grace is receiving God's riches at Christ's expense, riches such as faith and hope and love and peace and forgiveness and joy and more. That brings us to the second part of the greeting, that's peace. Peace is the traditional Hebrew greeting. Shalom means, you know, just not absence of conflict, it means an overall well-being. Paul expands that overall well-being to include our well-being before God, the hope we have because of Jesus. Through His death on the cross, brings us not only well-being, but he brings us peace with God, and then in turn, peace with other people. When Micah was preaching some 2,700 years ago, he predicted the coming of one who would bring peace. We read in Micah 5, "But you, O Bethlehem, for you shall come forth one who is to be ruler for Israel, in Israel, and he shall be their peace." Jesus, the one born in Bethlehem, is the one who is our peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He becomes our peace. He's made our peace through his death on the cross. Isaiah 53 tells us, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. And upon him was the chastisement that brings us peace." By giving his life for our sins in our place, we have peace with God. And as we're forgiven by God and enjoying that peace, we're able then to, based on that, forgive each other and enjoy peace with one another. Now, Paul writes to the Ephesians about how remarkable it is that Jews and Gentiles, former enemies, are both recipients of the gospel. And now they were finding themselves serving side by side in the church. Now, how did it happen? Ephesians 2:14, "For he himself is our peace, who made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility." Our whole lives are to take on the aroma of peace, well-being in every aspect. A peace that transcends all understanding. Peace that guards our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, we live in a very restless, angry world that's looking for any sign of peace. Looking for some way out, looking for a glimmer of hope. And people will grab on to whatever they can find. The Lakotas and other Great Plains people have continued to wait and hope for the return of the white buffalo. A couple of times they've had their hopes raised, once in 1933. Maybe you remember back in 1994 when a white buffalo was born on a small Wisconsin farm and they named her Miracle. They hoped she would bring blessing to the whole world. I don't think it quite worked out, near as I can tell. But do you realize how desperate people are to hope in the birth of a white buffalo? How distorted that story is from the original. That's why God wants us to remember. That's why we have the written word. It's not a passed down legend. That's why we have this table today and not a pipe that we're going to circulate. God wants us to have assurance that he's shown us grace and he's brought us peace. He wants us to have strength to follow him. He wants to encourage us. So as we take the Lord's Supper, we remember anew and afresh, and that remembering strengthens us spiritually. So that realizing his holiness and his incredible love, we can then live in a manner more pleasing to God our Father, assured of eternal life. And so this table is a proclamation of the world, a world that has distorted and ignored the truth of Jesus for 2,000 years. They've continued to decide to try to destroy the message. But the Lord's Supper is another way, in addition to the Word, for us to remember, to understand, to keep the message straight. The truth is that Jesus' body was broken for us. He died for us. His blood was shed for us at the cross. God's kept the message clear. And friends, if you do not know that grace and peace today, don't settle for counterfeit messages like a white buffalo. Realize the picture before you is the very death of Jesus. Simply believe that he died for you. See, we come to a table where Jesus has been hosting his children for some 2,000 years. A table that declares to us the source of life and grace and peace. Jesus himself. It's a table where there is zero tolerance of sin. I mean, on our own, none of us could come.
But this table shows us, reminds us, God's removed our sin from us. He's cast it into the depth of the sea. And He's chosen to remember it no more. God's offered us grace, His riches at Christ's expense. This table is for sinners who will admit their sin, repent of it. That means to turn from it and hate it. Because we believe Jesus died for those sins. So today we invite all believers in the Lord Jesus and members in Good Standing of an Evangelical Church to come. If there's not yet believers, we're delighted you're here. But the Bible urges you to watch and not partake. Instead, read all of Colossians. Follow those other guidelines in the bulletin. Likewise, children not yet been examined by the session should not eat or drink either. But if you're desiring to do that, please let me know. We can talk to your parents. You can and let them know too. Believers, this is a place that we examine our own attitudes towards our sin. Now, if we're not taking our sin seriously, that Jesus received all of God's wrath for that sin, then we shouldn't take either. We should let the elements pass. But if we need strength for the ongoing battle, if we need to be reminded we're forgiven, by all means, this is the place, this is the table, this is where we come and we eat. So let's take a moment now, examine ourselves and confess our sins as we come to the Lord's table. Lord, if you kept a record of sin, who could stand? But with you, there's forgiveness because of what Christ has done. So, Father, we confess our sin before you today, asking your forgiveness. Father, confident that as far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions from us because you placed them on Christ. Father, you've taken our sin and you've cast into the depth of the sea. Father, we're forgiven. We thank you that you've done it by your grace. And you've made peace for us with you. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.